That was so awesome, right? It was so awesome. We're talking about stirring up a fire today, about fanning a flame, and you already did it. And so this is going to be really simple. And yet, I have something to challenge you with. When we sing that song, Spirit, break out, fall down, tear down the walls, do we really know what we're saying? do we really know what we're saying? Well, I know for a fact that when we sing it from our hearts, even in our brokenness and our lack of ability to understand what it might look like, because we couldn't handle it if we knew, that God receives it and He sends His Spirit. Isn't that awesome? He just sends it for us. Even though we have no idea a lot of times what we're asking for or what it means when He's going to come and how it's going to radically change our life, because it has to. There's no other way. If the Spirit comes down and nothing changes, the Spirit has not come down in our heart, right? It's just come down and rested above us, and we watched it and we enjoyed the warmth of it, but we didn't actually allow Him to change us and to transform us. All right, I'm going to ask that you, and ask God if He would help us to not be distracted this morning.
Rob.
Yes.
Can you hear my mic on?
I think so. I can hear myself here.
I think it's just coming through the other mic.
Oh, really? That's a good mic. Wow. Oh, you're right, David. When he's on cue like that, we just like to call him Watson. Thanks, David. I didn't need that power already, David. I was fine. I was good. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. As I was saying, I want to pray, God, that you would keep us from distraction. You'd help us to receive the disruption of your Holy Spirit this morning. And the disruption of our lives, the things that we fall into, that we fall down with, the things that challenge us, that hold us back. So God, we ask that we would not be distracted by those things, but instead we would be invited into your presence, and we would invite you into our presence to speak to us through your word. Thanks so much for your word. It's so clear at times and yet so hard to understand at other times. And so now I just ask that you would open it up for us, because God, we need you to open it up so that we can understand exactly what you're trying to say to us this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've been going on a theme called More, and I'm going to carry on with that theme. And we've been using the elements, which is really interesting, because if you were able to be up on Mount Tomi this morning with me, you'd watch the fog. And I love watching everything just develop. You got the sunset coming on one side, then all this super thick fog. Then it starts to dissipate and go away. And then it looks like these little bumps in an ocean almost, because the fog looks like water to me. And maybe my eyes are bad, but it just looks like little bumps and then water. And then as it starts to dissipate more, the reality of life starts to come through, and you see that, yeah, there's people there. Oh, yeah, I have to do this today. And oh, yeah, this is going to happen. It's almost like in the fog, in that sort of moment where you're just kind of enjoying yourself, the peace, and I think Bob said the quietness of it, there's something special about it, and then it melts away. And the reality of where I live becomes clear, and I can take it in a variety of different ways. But interesting, the elements can actually draw us to God and allow us to find Him and see Him. We looked at water. We're looking at wind now, even though I may have slipped a little bit and slipped into fire. A little dyslexia there on my part, even with my themes. So I'm in fire, but we're fanning it, so that's wind, okay? So we're all good. And I'm wearing my red. Kyle and I got the team colors today. It was just meant to be, right? If you're wearing red, congratulations. You're right on. So, the theme more. How are you doing with more? I know we're all long for more and more and more and more. I do, all the time. And it's not always good stuff, but I long for more. And I'm wondering how you're doing with your longing for more. Now, it's always easy for me to pick on the negative side of more. Right? I can talk about money. We always want more money. And I dream about the lottery all the time. I can take care of all my debts and then I'll be happy, right? You know, and so we want more money. Maybe we just want our marks to improve at least above 50 so we can get into the 60 pass range and then potentially up to the 70 where we can look a little better. We want more marks. We want more friends. We want more experiences, don't we? Right, this is a good one for today. We're looking at that with the men's group too, but we want more experiences so that we can talk about those experiences. Nothing wrong with that, but we want more of that. We want more peace. I see that all the time today, people looking for more peace, and we strike the pose or whatever, right? We go to different ways to find that peace, whether it's our eating or our habits or how we work or how we handle life at home with our family, how much time we take away on our own, what kind of trips we go on, all sorts of stuff. Or how about physical fitness? That's a really big thing too, particularly here on the island. I see people all the time running. And I mean running, physically. And they look like they're enjoying themselves. Some of them. There's a few weekend warriors like myself out there just pounding the pavement. But we long for more, right? And we're just reaching out for it. And it just always seems to elude us. How about this morning? Maybe you weren't expecting to long for more as far as Marcello and the team led us at more of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you were, maybe you weren't. I don't know why what you were coming with this morning. I know you were all the first service people, and so you have stuff to do today, obviously, so I'll get on with it. But, right? However, you came and you found something more than you bargained for, I believe, today already. The Holy Spirit met you. So, now what are we going to do about it? Where are we going to go with it? Well, let's first start just by looking at our passage. And I'm digging into 2 Timothy a little bit. And we'll set it up just a bit because this passage is kind of interesting. It's Timothy, who's apparently a bit younger in his age, but very grounded in his faith. And he's had time with Paul, who of course is the apostle, who himself has basically had his eyes opened up to the reality of Jesus and walks in that relationship and loves it and shares it with Timothy. Now, parts that we didn't read in this passage just before verse 6, it says, I thank God. Did we read verse 3, John? We did it, right? Thank you. Okay. I was paying attention. So in verse 3 it says, I thank God whom I serve as my ancestors did. So he's just giving his history with clear conscience as night and day. I constantly remember you in my prayers, referring to Timothy, recalling your tears, intimacy, right? So he knows Timothy fairly close. Don't you like people like that who know you close, who can actually understand you, why you are the way you are right today? What is wrong with you today? So people are wondering, they're walking by you, well, I can't deal with that. Well, there's people, it's nice to know that some people are like that. That you have a friend that can understand what you're going through, can take a little time, and can actually speak with you. Of course, ultimately God can, but we need people too. It's led by the Spirit of God. Who are fanning the gift within them that God gave to them. So Paul's like that. He's actually like that. And so he comes to Timothy and he's relating to him in a deeper way. I long to see you, he says, so that I may be filled with joy. He's often optimistic. Even though he comes with tough topics, he's often optimistic. I know you'll fill me with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, grounding him, right? Don't forget. This is what this passage, I believe, is all about. Don't forget your sincere faith. And some of you might be forgetting too. So take it as a reminder for yourself. Which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded now lives in you also. And if you're in relationship with Jesus, I am persuaded, me, that he lives in you now also. Today, no matter what you might be feeling or what you're going through, Jesus, through his Holy Spirit, dwells in you today. And I long to be with you in that relationship. And as a matter of fact, I look forward to being and experiencing joy when I'm with you in that relationship. It just sparks something within me. And that's what Paul's saying. Then he goes on, he says, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift God, the gift which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Now, I'm going to just dwell a little bit on that one verse. We probably will jump to the other stuff because it's so awesome. It talks about the fact that God does everything. But that first part, let's just go there. In our quest for more, sometimes we don't think about really what it is we're actually fanning. You see, in this case, Paul's encouraging Timothy, encouraging us, encouraging me to fan the gift that's within me that came when the Holy Spirit came into my life. That's what he's referring to. And interesting that when he says fan the flame, that is the Holy Spirit, he's actually asking Timothy to fan the flame. Okay. And that gift that you received when I laid my hands on you. The prayer that they made when they committed him into ministry, and the an evidence of the Holy Spirit came into him and gave him the ability to have power and love and self-discipline, not by anything that he can do, but by the Holy Spirit that dwelt within him. The problem is that we're not always fanning the right thing. And so Paul's telling you and me, fan that gift inside you. That is in you. And if you're not in a relationship with Jesus, then you're like, what are you doing? Okay, sorry, I get it. But if you are this morning, the Spirit is in you. And you need to fan the gift that he's given you. Not all these other things that we get distracted by and we start to fan. The fan, let's call the fanning the activity, the choices, the decisions that we make that will encourage us to go one way or the other. The decisions that will allow the Holy Spirit to come into our heart and burn brightly, like a white flame, white hot, right? Like this morning when you started to get a little hotter and you started to feel like the Holy Spirit, I'm starting to let him do something in my life. And I can feel that. But you know what? If you continue to let him do something in your life, it's going to be extremely disruptive. Because what Paul was calling Timothy to do was not easy. We think it sounds nice. Yeah, just fan the flame, right? Make a good choice. Invite the Holy Spirit in. Oh, yeah. And also, now you got to make a good choice. And you have to stand for the faith. Because Timothy's job as a pastor at that time was to stand up for the teachings that were going here and there and all over the place. And I got the feeling that maybe that it was just some embers at this point. He was starting to lose hope. He's starting to lose his ability to stand up. And maybe he was shedding some tears. Maybe that's why Paul remembered his tears. Maybe he was in remorse about what he could have done, but he didn't do. I don't know. That's holy imagination. At least I hope it's holy. But we do know that Paul touched his heart when he said that and was challenging him to do something, to make a choice, a different choice, or to make the choice in his mind and know that the Holy Spirit is in you. Now let's just fan it. Let's choose the right things for my life so that will fan that flame within me. What are the choices he had to make? I don't know. But what are the choices you have to make is more important here. What are the choices I have to make? You guys play Monopoly? You play Monopoly? Or as our family, we play Monopoly. Right, Patty? Yeah. Who always wins in Monopoly?
The kids.
The banker! I always win. No, the banker always wins. Oh my goodness, why does the banker always win? Because they just embezzle. I don't know, your kids are way better than mine, obviously. Or maybe it's just me. Anyway, in Monopoly, what's the goal of the game? To get more. And to get more, and to get more, and to make more. And you want to dominate, right? You want to dominate. So you're playing the game, you're rolling the dice, and you're taking all the important properties as you go around. Anybody not know how to play Monopoly here, by the way? Okay, so this is good, we're all together. And you're going around the board, you're collecting your properties, and then of course you're buying your houses, building your towers, our hotels. And then you're building whatever you want. Anyway, you get all the stuff set up so that you can collect more money, make more money, make more money. And you're basically trying to knock everybody out of the game by emptying them out so that you have more and you win. Interesting game. By the way, don't try to play with that economy in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a little bit more like Uno. Right? If you have a lot of cards in your hand, you're in trouble, right? You're not going to win the game. You're not. It's not. So you have to do your very best to empty your hands, right? Empty your hands of everything that you have so that you can win. This is the economy of heaven. It's an interesting passage when Jesus started off
his ministry, he had this
Sermon on the Mount thing that he was doing. His very first message, right at the very beginning, he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." And I just wanted to remind you of that, and then we'll carry on, but blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Happy are those who are poor. Happy to the extent of being full. Full are those who are poor. Actually, full are those who are empty. Isn't that interesting? This is how he starts off his kingdom. Now he starts preaching what it's all about to be in the kingdom of God. If you want to be happy, if you want to be full, you actually have to be empty, not full. And that's confusing. But that's the economy of God. We have to live in the economy of God as you go forward. So as we're called to fan the flame within us, the Holy Spirit within us, make choices that fit the kingdom. Otherwise, you're not fanning any flame within you, this Holy Spirit. All you're fanning is yourself. And we know where that ends up. Ultimately, we get disillusioned. We wonder, where is it all going? I need more, obviously, so I'm just going to fan it a little more, and I'll get some more. It doesn't work. That's the world's economy, and it's empty, and it falls flat on its face. Jesus' economy is confusing, but it works, and it brings life to the full. The economy of God. Okay, so don't blame it on Philippe Leno. No, that's not the thing.
But within our hearts, God wants us to fan the flame. How are we going to choose to do it? How are we going to make it work?
Now, so what we do, what we tend to do then, once you hear a message like that, you say, okay, that's good. So now I'm going to do my very best to give all that I have to God. So we try, and we try, and we try. So Paul, when he's talking to Timothy, he's not telling him to try. And when he's talking to us, he's not telling us to try harder. In other words, try harder to come on Sunday. Try harder to get up on time. Try harder to give 1% of your earnings to God or whatever you can do. Try harder to not stay up all night watching Netflix. Try harder to stay away from pornography. Try harder to not put down people around you. Try much, much harder to treat your family better. Try harder not to get in arguments with your spouse all the time. Try, and on, you can fill in the blank with whatever you're struggling with. Try harder to get more marks. Try harder. And there's nothing wrong with working hard. I'm not saying not to, but I'm saying if that's what we think is going to give us life, we're wrong. We're wrong in every field of it, of life. You're wrong. It is by emptying yourself out. No, there's no getting around it. And it's radical. If you want to fan the flame within you, you've got to empty it out. No more of yourself. Stop talking about yourself so much. Right? That's what he's kind of saying to us. We're so fixated on who we are, what we want, what we need, how we're going to make it work, how we look, all this kind of stuff. Stop it. And it's not about trying harder. It's actually about fanning that flame, making a good choice. God, I'm not going to where you please. And he does, he comes into our hearts and he starts to move us. He starts to move us. Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, starts to move us. And then it says in verse 8, in verse 7, after he talks about fanning this flame, he says, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid in the face of what we're failing to do." It doesn't make us timid. Fan the flame, make a good choice. But he gives us power, all right? He's going to give you power. You're saying, well, it never works for me. And let me remind you again, the Spirit within us will do it. He is active. He is doing it now. We pray that God will open our eyes, not unlike the way Paul's eyes that were blinded when he came and saw Jesus, were opened up to see the reality of who he really was. And it wasn't his physical eyes, was it? It was his heart. His physical eyes came later. God, open up our eyes to see that you're actually active. He wants to give you a spirit of power and of love. We're struggling with love a little bit. And you may say, well, I love. I heard what happened in the Bahamas, and I send out some good vibes out that way, and I love them. Come on. What is that? What even is that? when we fan the flame, the gift of the Holy Spirit within us, He transforms us, and our love becomes so active, just like He's active. We become active, and we do something. We make a difference. We're moved because we're empty anyhow. It's all in His power that we go. What flame are you fanning? What are you stirring? What type of flame are you poking? I know when I go to the lake, we have a nice place. We're so blessed. We have a place at Shawnigan Lake. I go there and we start a fire, and it takes me forever. You ever use like 3 newspapers to start a flame? That's me. What a waste, right? I just burn them, and who knows what I'm doing to the environment, but I'm burning them. And then, you know, it just, these little embers, and then it gets going. It's like burning like crazy. Yes! It did it. It's great. It's awesome. It's so warm. It inspires me. And then it starts to die down again. And just embers looks nice, but it's, you know, it's close to death, maybe. And so you start poking it, fanning it, stirring it, put in some more wood, and away it goes again. You have to continually be fanning the flame within your heart. It is not a one-time thing, not unlike the word, the big word, sanctification, where God is working in our hearts. It's ongoing. We are called to make good choices and take steps in faith all of the time, so that we can fan the flame within us. And as the embers go down, we listen to Paul's words again. It says, fan that flame. Go out, make a good choice. Do it. Let's go. No, I'm just about finished binging Netflix and then I'll come. Now I've got to say, no, let's go now. Let's do it right now. Actually, I'm really tired. No, you're not really tired. You're just kind of depressed. It's time for you to go. It's time for us to make a choice for God. Show your power, as I think we're singing at the end, right? Show your power, God, in me, within me. Show your love. Move it within me. Help me not to be timid of what I may or may not do right, but just help me move forward in you and show me what it is to be self-disciplined. I don't know what that's like, God. I'm struggling so much with that. Can you help turn my life around? Yes, I can, He says, and I will. But empty yourself, empty yourself. Yourself and continue to go back to that flame and fan it more. This is something you can't just do once. I'm saved, I'm done. Yeah, you are saved, but now don't you want to enjoy your life? Don't you want to live in this kingdom that He's developed for us? Let's live in it. Let's live in it together as a church. Let's see what God wants to do. One of the things that I was really driven to lately, I've been talking to Pastor Kyle about this, was we talk about reaching out to people, talk about bringing people to church, bringing people to situations. Sorry, I'm really dry today. Bringing people into situations where they discover a little bit about God, right? Something different. I long for that. You know, I long for that, even though I'm terrified of that. Terrified. I long for that. Where's that spirit of power in my life? Where's that boldness? God, give it to me. Give it to me. Please give it to me. And so I'm praying over and over. I say, God, if I am asking people and suggesting to people and encouraging people to reach out to a friend, why am I not reaching out to a friend? Not happy about that. And so I just pray about that. I talk about that. But I have to fan the flame within me. I have to fan the gift within me. I actually have to make a choice. I actually have to try, you know. I have to take a step. I have to make a move somehow. So I'm starting to make moves. I'm starting to make moves. Little baby moves, right? They're big for me. They feel like big steps, but really they're just tiptoes. Like, oh, I'm so scared. But the Holy Spirit, then as I go, He starts to get hotter, if you want to call it that way, as we look at the elements. It burns brighter. And He says, actually, you know what? He continues to remind me that He's in me. He continues to remind me that I'm doing a good thing. And then every now and then He throws a little biscuit my way and someone responds. I'm like, wow, I didn't know that was going to happen. I thought I burnt that relationship out. Sorry about the analogy there, but I thought that was done. I thought that was over. But no, it's not over. I'm telling you, no. He's not over. Uh-uh. Not done. We're not going to live in the lie that says we're unable to walk in Christ and in His fullness and experience the joy of the Lord no matter what you're experiencing. He is in your life. Like Paul says, I remind you also, He is in our lives. The Holy Spirit is there. Now let's just fan Him. Right? Let's get active.
Let's show what we can do for him. Let's make some good choices, right? Let's choose to love our enemy. Ouch, that's disruptive. I don't like that, but I'm not gonna be distracted from doing what God wants me to do. I'm gonna fan the flame and I'm gonna walk where God wants me to walk. And I'll trip, I'll fall, and I'll turn away, but I'm still gonna fan the flame. I'm gonna make the choice. I'm not giving up because God hasn't given up on me. Keep going, keep walking, keep stepping in the Holy Spirit. Step with him, just step with him. He's telling Timothy that, and Timothy obviously had some timidity, right? He had some issues, he had some things that he was worried about, but he had a foundation. You have a foundation in Christ. Let's go forth in that foundation. Some of you have a lot more than others, so you got to share it with us. You got to bring it and help us here. Tell us more about the history of how God is so awesome. Remind us, take us to the Bible. Show us how he does it. Take us to your grandpa or your mom or whatever. Tell us what he did. Tell us. Show us the Holy Spirit's power. Right? Show us. Show us. It goes on to say, this grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. It's not just today. It happened a long time ago. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Who has destroyed death. He has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Let's remind ourselves, we do not live in an economy that's going down and depends on whether the money's there or not. We live in a far different world. We walk in the kingdom, and wherever we go, we bring that kingdom with us. Right? The kingdom is there. The light will shine. So let's make some choices, even though they might be disruptive to us, let's make some choices that are going to make a difference. But I also know that there's an enemy on the prowl and that he's disrupting us constantly. And he can be doing it in a variety of ways, whether it's relational or physical or whatever it might be, at school, all sorts of things. And so we got to come together here. We need to pray for each other. We have a battle that God is fighting for us, but we got to claim it still. We got to walk in it and don't be lulled away from it. Don't get caught up in our comfort zone. It's not a great place to be. You may feel okay for a while, but eventually, as the analogy goes, you get boiled up and you're done. Let's move. Let's move. And let's allow God's Spirit to water in us. And then let's discover how it is to walk through some of these things that seem impossible to us. I think what you're going to see is that somehow, at one point, you're going to walk through something and say, whoa, wait a minute. I can't do that. How'd that just happen? How'd that just happen? That was God. That was the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the way that you long to work in our lives. And you used Paul to talk to Timothy, and it directly came to us. A reminder that you are here in our hearts. And I know there's some that maybe haven't even chosen you yet, so I ask that your Holy Spirit would make yourself known to them and that they would discover hope in their life. They could start a journey like we have, and they could make some good choices, and they could see your Spirit move in their lives. We know you're active, God, constantly, always. We got to move and open our eyes and start to see it and allow you to transform us, to make us new. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Everybody just stand with us as we close this morning.
Oh,
All right. And I know that sort of sounds like a pep rally and everything, sending you off, kicking you off, where you go, let's go win the game. And it's kind of like that, but did you catch the one line in there? I ask not for riches, but... Yeah. Show me the cross. Put me on the cross. So it's a little different, isn't it? It's sobering, but it is where you find life. So we're not going to run out there and, yeah, yay me, yay God. Although that's exciting, it's empty. Empty me out. If you need to pray this morning, stop and do that. If you need to pray on the way home, stop and do that. At home, when you get home, ask God to empty yourself out. And then you can be confident of this, because you may be thinking, oh my goodness, I'm just, thanks for taking it down. Now I have nothing left. But no, it's good. God is with you. The Spirit, I remind you, the Spirit is within us. And it says here, Paul later said to some guys here, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in us, he will carry it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So to the God who is able to do far more than we ever dreamed or imagined in our lives and the people's lives around us, who is active in our hearts today, I ask that you continue your action. To you, God, we give all glory, honor, majesty, and power, both now and forevermore, from generation to generation, in our generation, please, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Hope you have a great day. Enjoy the sunshine.